Where's Brian? Pastor Brian, did he go back there, Kavanaugh? So he just texted me something that was really awesome. Here, can you take this? Thank you. He said this: a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. Let me explain what that means. After I got encountered the Lord when I was 6 years old, I went back to my house. And I remember I was outside with my sister Lori and the neighbor, the little girl neighbor. There were three of us. Y'all with me? And so I was testifying. That's what happens when Pentecost comes upon you, is you testify. So I was 6 years old, and I was already telling the neighbor kid about Jesus. Listen, if you never testify, you have to question whether the Spirit of God has come upon you. And the girl's father came out and came out to try to rebuke me and tell me that there is no God. Yeah, I was 6 years old. We all stumble in many things. The Bible says, let not many become teachers. You know, the moment that you put on the cap and start telling people things about God that the Scriptures don't support, you have stepped into a dangerous place. And I think somewhere there's a scripture that says about don't make one of these little ones stumble. Yeah. Now, I want to say something. If all I'd done was heard about God, that man's message to me could have affected my walk. But because I'd experienced God, it had no power over me. I was respectful to him because my mom had taught me to be respectful. So I waited till he walked away and I looked at his daughter and I said, he's wrong, there is a God. Listen to your father, but don't listen to him here. Pray for him that he would have encounter. You understand, when you're 6 years old and the Spirit of God comes upon you, and lights up the room in the middle of the night, and there's shadows of flames of fire on the wall after your father has just told you that Jesus died on a cross for you, it is a profound experience for a young man. So here I am, I'm 49 years old, and that message has never been able to be wrestled out of me. And there are people with PhDs in theology that are stand up and saying that our kids don't need that type of encounter. Yeah, My dad doesn't like a lot of attention, but he's here. Dad, can you just raise your hand? That's my father. So if I was making up the story, he would tell you at this moment that didn't happen. And he remembers it better than me because I was six. He was in his 30s. And he can tell you the story better than I can tell you the story. I remember looking over at him and just sitting him there basking in it. And I thought, amen. And he told me later, he said, man, the hair on his back stood up. The Spirit of God come in the room like that in the middle of the night. And so I got born again that night. So would you. I don't care how much religion somebody's tried to crave down your throat and how many people have told you there's no God, or you have an experience like that, nobody can take that away from you. You understand? Somebody cannot, with their argument, take your experience away. And I remember going back to mainline denominational church at 7 and 8 years old and listening to the preacher say things that I knew. This is not God. I met God. This is not who he is. It's not his nature. As a young man, started witnessing, testifying. I remember for my 8th birthday, I wanted my mom to take me to a movie called In Search of Jesus Christ about the Shroud of Turin. That's not a normal 8-year-old request. But when you've been touched with the fire of God at a young age, it changes your life. Amen. Listen, I said that the call of the house is generations, that the hearts of the fathers would be turned toward their children, and that the children would experience God. Listen, there has been a shift in the spirit, and it was like all of a sudden things were a certain way, and in a moment of time, things have shifted, and they're not the same as they were. And what the manna that you tried to live on yesterday will not sustain you in the manna that is coming today. There are difficult times that are coming, but I want you to understand something. Not for those who know God. You need to hear what I'm saying to you. For those that know God, it will be just like when Egypt was judged and the lights never went out in Goshen. They were all living large in Goshen. That's where the slaves lived when Egypt was being judged. There are times when God does things in the world that he asks the church to just step away from. And don't engage in. Amen. This is crazy times going on in our country. Right? Do you remember when Moses was leading the children through the wilderness and all these people except Joshua and Caleb, none of them had the heart to go into the new land. And so because of their unbelief, they didn't enter into where God was trying to take them in that season. So now they're wandering the wilderness and they get mad at the preacher. You know, it's your fault. You led us out of Egypt out here in the wilderness to die. You take too much on yourself. Who made you, you know, the one in charge? And by the way, that would be God. And they were led by a man named Korah in a rebellion against Moses. And Korah, here's what he did. He went around and he got 250 people that in the natural had clout. They were men of renown. Today they would be, you know, your people that are uber successful and have it all going on in the natural. And that we think that sometimes when we grab these people that they bolster our ridiculous arguments. And so then they come against Moses and said, you know, you take too much on yourself. And then Moses is like, man, you know, Korah, you guys have already been separated to stand before the people. God's already given you so much grace. Is it a small thing, the favor that he's already put on your life? And they rebuke him right back. Is it a small thing that you make yourself king over us and all the, you know? And, you know, so Moses is there with the people and the 250 people and Korah and their families. And here's what God says to him. He doesn't tell Moses to engage his thing. He says, will you back up away from him? Step back away from this situation. Come on, let that just, there's stuff going on you need to step away from. Because God was doing something in the lives of those people that had nothing to do with Moses and the other people. So he told Moses and God's people, step back away from them because the earth is about to swallow them up. The New Testament picture is that when you get engaged with the affairs of the world, and you get engaged in things that God is calling you to step away from, the carnality of that situation swallows you up. It's not an accident that it was the earth that opened up and swallowed them. And some of the people got mad at Moses. I mean, Moses is like, I know a couple card tricks, but come on. Right? That was clearly something that was beyond what I'm doing. All right, are you in Jeremiah 29? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Jeremiah 29, we're going to start in verse 8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. Okay, I need everyone's attention. You know, I was at Rodney Howard Brown the other night, and he said something that I loved, and every pastor probably does. Pastors get on their face, and they pray, and they're like, God, what's the word of the Lord? And then people skip church, and they skip the thing that God was speaking through the pastor to try to help them because they got something ongoing, and they want to go on the boat, or I just don't feel like it, or it's raining, or it's cold, whatever's going on, and they skip it. And then what happens is when their life is falling apart, then they come, and they want the pastor to have a counseling session with them when the very thing that they needed to hear was spoken on a Sunday morning, and if you would like put the flesh under and be in a place where the Word of God is consistently speaking, and that when you are here that you would actually be present. Amen. You would hear what God is saying to you, and the things that are coming would not catch you off guard. Are you with me? Listen, he said, do not let your prophets, your diviners, the soothsayers, psychics, whatever, in your midst. Everyone say, in your midst. Amen. There are voices in our midst that are trying to deceive us. There are so many voices, and they may not come with the title of prophet, but they are voices that are sent to try to deceive us, and the ultimate source of that deception comes from not the voices, but you yourself. Because he said, don't listen to the dreams which you caused to be dreamed. So basically, the prophets were rising up, and here's what they were doing. They were speaking to the people what the people let them know they wanted to hear. Now, here's the beauty of this in a very, very bad way. You take God completely out of the equation. There's no need to seek God because the source of the message is coming from the people themselves. Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? Here's what the Lord said to me. And the Lord does not, he doesn't just use words loosely. You know, I'm not a science guy, I'm a literature guy, and I'd heard the word, but it's not a word that I use on a regular basis. But here's what he said. He said, the prophets and the people were in an unhealthy symbiotic relationship. Definition of symbiosis. The living together in more or less intimate association or close union of two dissimilar organisms as in a parasite. So, the prophets and the people became one. The voices and the people became one. But the source of the voices was from the sheep. And what's crazy to me is what person would put themselves in the position of the prophet and prophesy to the people what the people are causing them to be dreamed. Just get another job. You know, there's those of you, there's many of you here that have a call to stand and actually speak and preach before people. You cannot get your messages from the people. Jesus said it this way, the blind leading the blind fall into a ditch. Hello? And here's what happened in the Old Testament. Because the blind were leading the blind and they were falling into a ditch, because the source of the messages the prophets were giving came from the hearts of the people, as they're falling into a ditch, God, in order to get their attention, because he loves them and lead them back into a place of fellowship, had to bring them into captivity. So he loves the sheep and he brings the sheep into captivity. But the teachers, the preachers, the prophets, he had them publicly executed and cooked before Nebuchadnezzar and all the other people. It sounds an awful lot like the New Testament scripture that says, let not many of you become teachers, because you'll receive a stricter judgment. And for those of you that are so inclined to understand what I'm saying, it's not by accident that they were burned. Anybody? An unhealthy symbiotic relationship. Why do I say this? New Testament. We have voices that are speaking to us, and they are not from God. But what happens is, when the voices come to you, which are actually set up from your own desires, you are, what is the word? Deceived. The problem with deception is you don't know you're deceived. That's the issue. You think you're seeing things clearly, and you are not. Yeah, I'm being serious because I feel the weight of heaven on what God has laid on my heart to speak to the body of Christ, to prepare people to stand before him and not to fall into the midst of the things that God is saying step away from. Do you know the majority of messages preached on Sunday mornings and some of the biggest and most successful ministries are, you know, they're not a lot different than if you just turn on the news. Why am I saying that? Same voices. People preaching, getting messages from what the people want to hear. Tell me I'm lying when we have mainstream denominations that are having complete splits over things that the Bible says clearly are unscriptural. We have the Methodist Church right now arguing the issue of whether homosexuality is right or not. Now, you know me and you've been here and you know I don't take a hard line against homosexuality because I think all the people that are out protesting homosexuality, they should be protesting gossips and those who spread discord in the church and, you know, and those that are mean to their wives and all the rest. Why do you pick on the one sin? It's no different. You need to hear what I'm saying because we have alienated whole groups of people and here's what we said to them. We don't love you. And the gospel is the gospel of love. Nonetheless, homosexuality is a sin. The scriptures clearly declare it. But why is there this argument and this split about these things that the scriptures clearly teach? Because the heart of the message is coming from the people themselves. So in the Old Testament, they caused the prophets to dream the things they wanted to hear. In the New Testament, you heap up preachers that will preach to your itchy ears. And the Lord warned people, let not many of you become teachers. I told you this. The moment that you put on the cap, like that guy did and came and talked to me and said that there is no God, you have stood in the place where you have become a teacher. You don't have to have the title of the pastor or the evangelist or the prophet or the teacher or any of that stuff. The moment that you begin to tell people things that God has not said, you put yourself in danger. Oh. Don't stand in a place where you speak to people if you don't have the guts to tell them the truth. Better to just be quiet. That's what I don't understand. Why become a minister and then compromise the message? Just become a plumber. I said this last week. I mean, there's so much work. You know what I mean? There's so many other things that you can do. And I'm warning some of you that are called here because you're going to be tempted to compromise the message because the message is unpopular with people. And there's this little song and dance because you love the people. And so you want to tell them what they want to hear. But the thing is, you're not the sheep, you're the shepherd. And the moment that you begin to lead people, you don't give them what they want. Do you know sheep will eat anything? I've had a whole series of dogs, and most of my German shepherds have been discerning about what to eat and what not to eat. My last one, he wouldn't eat anything that he wasn't supposed to eat, you know, and he was smarter than our golden doodle. Our golden doodle, she will eat anything that's left out. I mean, you go on the lawn and you see where she's pooped and there's half of the kids' toys. I'm not exaggerating. Anything that you leave on the ground, she thinks, oh, this is dinner. That's exactly how sheep are. Listen to me. Sheep will eat anything. And so a shepherd needs to hear what God says and tell them what they're going to say. And whether you stand in the office or not, if you're going to speak for God, if you're going to interact with people and you're going to say things that, you know, that you're saying that God says, then you better be speaking for God because God warns us in his word. There will be those that stand before him and say, look, I told you, you receive a stricter judgment. The moment you stand up and you start compromising what I said to say, you have come into a place where you don't want to stand. Are you hearing me? All right. Why am I saying all this? Because, guys, I feel so strongly in my spirit that if we don't begin to distinguish all the voices that are coming to us, we're going to lead ourselves right in the midst of something that God never intended for you to be in. Can you imagine if somebody at that last time, just before Moses said to step back, said, well, I really feel like I want to run in there. I want to be part of that. You see, God's doing things in the earth that don't have anything to do with you. They don't need your commentary. They don't need your comments. They don't need your opinions. They just need you to just step away. There's a time when God calls the church to himself and does things in the earth that have nothing to do with the body of Christ. Pastor Carter said it this way. There's a time when Noah builds an ark and God puts God's people in the ark and he takes them away from what is he's doing that has nothing to do with them. And if you do not distinguish, listen to me, the voices of the time that you live in, the carnality of the earth will swallow you up. It's the reason why some of you have lost passion and serving God and seeking God has become a religious duty, or going after God becomes something that you do when you have a moment. And you're failing to understand the times that you actually have been born into. Anybody? You understand the seriousness, the soberness of the moment that we live in? When you walk outside of these doors, if you don't have a reel hooked up to heaven and you can't discern his voice, you're going to get caught up in all kinds of stuff that God's never called you to be caught up into. And then in the midst of that mess, you say something stupid like, you know, I tried God, but he wasn't there for me, and he left me, and all the rest. And meanwhile, he was trying to draw you away, but you would not turn aside. Listen, you can only stand here and feel what I'm feeling to understand what I'm, how I'm trying to get your attention. You cannot keep going, so many of you, the way that you've been going and expect that it, you know, that you're not going to get swept up in this stuff. Exodus 3. Now Moses was tending the flock, verse 1, of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert. And he came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. From the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. Yeah. And your words are really, really important. Yeah. When you get a moment, I want you to read Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah, the first half of Jeremiah, he's complaining. He's preaching the gospel and he's trying to tell them to repent. He's trying to tell them judgment's going to come. But when he comes into verse 15, he starts to kind of complain in the loop of the things that he's saying is about just how bad everything is and nothing is working and all the rest. And this is his continual loop. It's just complaining. You with me? And then God shows up and he redirects his speech. He actually says, don't say. There are things that God is trying to say to you, and what he's saying is, don't say. You know, I don't apologize that it's uncomfortable in here, because I will not preach to your itchy ears. Amen. It's time that you wake up and understand the times that you live in. Amen. And the seriousness and soberness of the moment. Listen to me. Look at me. When you're living the selfish life that you're living, people are dying and going to hell. And you're like, well, I just don't have time for this and all the rest. And, you know, the pastor and you. I'm going to wash my hands of it, and when you stand before Jesus, I'll be able to say, hey, I told them. I didn't try to tell them, oh, no. You can just keep living the way that you're living, and it's fine. God doesn't care. That's what people say when they're in an unhealthy symbiotic relationship. I want to back up for a second. The Lord told me this. I used to think when I read this statistic that the average pastor prays less than 3 minutes 3 minutes a day. The average pastor in America prays less than 3 minutes a day. And here's what I thought. They get so busy trying to meet all the needs of the sheep. They got to visit this one at the hospital. They got to counsel this one. They got to, you know, deal with the plumbers and electricians and buildings, and all that stuff is real. But you know what? All that is secondary to the real reason. If you're getting your messages from the hearts of the people, there's no need to meet with God. And therefore, people and prophet have no idea what God is saying. And they onward they go, the blind leading the blind, telling each other, oh no, we're good, we're awesome, we're good, until the day that the flood came and took them all away. I think somewhere in the New Testament, there's some talk about that, applying to the New Testament, you know. It will be just like the days of Noah, is what the scriptures say. Listen to me. Moses said, I will turn aside when he saw fire. Now, this fire was different fire than the fire that he was used to seeing. Because he'd seen fire on the mountain, on the backside of the desert. Listen to me. When he was busy and he was tending the sheep and he was doing his thing year after year, day after day, he got himself into a routine, and so do we. We get ourselves into routines, both in the natural and even in our devotional life. We can get ourselves into routines. Here's the revelation. Moses turned aside from the routine, and God spoke to him from the fire and released him into his destiny. Are you with me? You're living in a time where you've got to lay down the daily routine, the status quo, the business as usual that you have walked in for so long, even when it comes to your devotional life. And you've got to turn aside. You've got to shut out the other voices. You can't continue to try to just keep going the way you're going and think that the Lord is going to speak to you, because all the other voices are speaking to you and you think that's God talking to me, and you're walking right into a situation that the Lord's not leading you because you don't have it in you to turn aside from the normal experience, the normal routine. But instead, you try to fit a burning bush, destiny-changing experience into the normal life that you're living. And you say, if God wants to speak to me and move, this is the way that he's going to have to. Let's not get crazy. Balance. But Moses saw this fire, and it drew him. And he said, I will. This is very important. Everybody look at me. You have a will that God's been given you. You get to decide. Some of you right now are already deciding, Pastor, I don't want to hear it. I'm sick of it. Because you understand that if you're going to follow God, you're going to have to shed some stuff and live differently than you've lived in the past. You might have to lose friends. You might have to change jobs. You understand? You might have to get some stuff out of your house, or you might actually have to come to your wife and tell her you have a porn problem. You might have to forgive that person that you don't want to forgive. You might actually have to begin to pray. There's something that tells us, if I turn aside to this burning bush experience, that my life is going to look differently when I come out of that. Here was a man that for 40 years was on the backside of the desert. He was being a shepherd. He was doing his thing. He was living his life. But from that moment on, everything changed. Are you with me? And people are in love with their situation, and being in love with their situation and the way things are, they keep telling themselves, no, I hear God. But the scriptures, what is the Lord telling us? That there's so many deceptive voices. There's so many things. You know, in our day, it might not come with prophet, but it might come with a musician. It might come with a professor. You understand? It might come with somebody that you work with. You know, it might come with family members. These voices can come to you from a variety of ways, but ultimately, they're designed and created to mirror what's in your heart so that you feel better as you walk into a ditch. Now, what gives me the right and the authority? Well, because I've turned aside, I've met with God, I've heard what he had to say. I do pray more than 3 minutes a day. I'm telling you, this is what he's saying. Andrew, come on down here for a second. Hurry up, please. 100 miles an hour, young man. So, turn around. So Andrew and I went to the river the other night, on Friday night, Rodney Howard Brown. So he's laughing because we got hit with the power of God there, but that's actually not what I wanted to tell him about right now. I preached this message to him on the way down.
Yeah.
This is the message I preached. You're in the car with me for an hour and a half. You're going to hear my sermon. Right?
I was blessed. Yeah.
Then we walked in. We radically, radically worshiped God with a bunch of people that were ready. And out of their head and in the spirit to praise. Oh, what a wonderful environment. I'm going back tonight. I walk in the doors and I'm just like, oh, thank you, Jesus, that there is a people that are out of their head and in the spirit that want to worship him. I'm among family. So we sit down after worship and Pastor Rodney Howard Brown gets up and guess what he preaches? The same sermon, same scriptures, everything that I preached to him on the way down. Yep. I'm hitting him. I said, Sunday, you tell them, I preached to you first. Because I know some of you are watching and think, Pastor got his message from Rodney. No, he got it from me. Now, I'm just joking. We all got it from meeting with God and found out that the same God is saying the same thing to those people that will turn aside. Thank you. But when you turn aside, your life will look different when you come out of there. It's funny how the Lord orchestrates things. Where's Mary? She's still in here? Where'd you go? Mary. And what I say to her, I remind her of the story of a man in the Old Testament that said, when you go up the hill, holy hill, hello, Psalm 24, when you ascend. And he said, you will meet a company of prophets coming down. And when you meet them, the Spirit of God will come upon you and you become a new man. You begin to prophesy. The spirit of prophecy in the New Testament, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And the greatest testimony and prophecy of Jesus is that he's coming back. My job is to help you get ready. Amen. At the same time, to steward over my wife, my house, my kids. There's some things that need to shake out in our lives. There are things that are about to happen on the earth that God is trying to keep us from. You know, in the book of Daniel, it talks about it will be the worst time in the history of the world. But then it says, but the people that know God will just do great exploits. Amen. I know a pastor who knows a pastor that down in Haiti, where they've had all the earthquakes and all the problems, they're running a mission, and they feed like hundreds of kids, and at least three times a week, the food multiplies. Because there's a need. Because people get nervous. People get nervous. They're like, what's going to happen? There's going to be famine. There's going to be war. There's not going to be food. If you know God, your food will multiply. He will take care of you. If you don't know God, here's what the scriptures say. Many will actually take the mark of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, because it says you will not be able to buy or sell anything without that mark. That's why there's such a push for a worldwide government and a worldwide system so they can make one worldwide monetary value. And if everybody's into that system, then those that don't know God will think, well, the only way I'm going to feed my kids is I'm going to have to put my faith in this world ruler, in this world government, and they'll take care of me. But the Bible says those that know their God will do great exploits. It'd be the best garlic and pasta that you've ever tasted in your life. Are you hearing me? The pastor asked him, how many times has this happened that the food multiplied? Because he was there and saw it. And he said, about 2 to 3 times a week. Amen. You see, the very fact that that challenges some of you is my point. As you walked in your head, you have got to get out of your head if you are going to worship and interact with a supernatural God. You have got to stop thinking so much and trying to figure things out that you are never meant to understand. But I promise you that there needs to be a greater level of devotion and consecration. Do you have that picture of me getting saved the other night? I got it. At second service, we'll pull it up. So I answered, Pastor Brian and Angela and I were there opening night last week. And so I answered the altar call, you know. They said, if you want to be more consecrated to the Lord, and you know, and they were given, you know, they did salvation and all the rest. So I was up there with a bunch of people getting saved. I was front and center. And do you have the picture, Brian? You can send it to Andrew. And Brian got a picture of me getting saved. And they led me out. And, you know, to the other room, and they had all these people as I was coming through going, welcome to the family, you know. And I was like, I'm a pastor. I was up here for the consecration part. I got saved at 6. But I just thought it was funny. Your pastor's praying prayers of consecration. Last week when I preached pretty hard and I asked them to come up and pray, the reason I asked them to pray is because I was on my face here repenting. I'm repenting. We need to repent. Listen to me. We need to repent. Things have shifted. Things have shifted. And what's happening is people are thinking, I can just go on the way that I'm going. Please let this be your warning. You can't. Go on the way you've been going. Your passion is leaking out of you for the things of God. You have no unction to witness. You have no personal faith that you're walking in. You are not happy to worship God. And when you do, you go through the motions and your heart is not connected to who He is. Hello? And I'm talking to the kids too. They don't get a pass. You know, you, Johnny, you got a call of God on your life. What are you going to do with that? You understand? You have an understanding that God's given you of the scriptures and a love for His word that is not normal for a young man of your age. I recognize it because I was the same way. Because when I preach, what happens is stuff bounces off of me on people that have similar calls. You understand? You've been called from the foundation of the world to preach the gospel to a lost and dying generation. Not when you grow up. As soon as fire hits you, you'll start. Many of you, God is calling for you to turn aside, but here's what you've said. No. I will go on and continue to do the things that I'm doing and not interrupt my life at any level. God calls people and blesses them to radically give. No. He calls people, He gives them a gift of intercession. It's been prophesied over them. You need to pray. You need to intercede. You need to come and be somebody that prays, and they cannot make the time. There's people that are called to preach, and I'm uncomfortable speaking in front of people. These are all excuses to not turn aside to what God's calling us to do, and every day is another day that's lost. They got people that are called to live a more separated life to the Lord, and they won't because they don't want to give up the wealth. They refuse if the Lord says, sell a house, move to a smaller place, downsize, drive one car, do what you need to do so that when you go to heaven that you actually will take some people with you. Are you hearing me? But Moses turned aside. God is trying to bring revelation of the restoration of the ministry of the priest and kings to his church. Again, Psalm 24, who may ascend his holy hill? Those with clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up their soul to idols, nor sworn deceitfully. This doesn't mean that you need to go through your good works and make yourself ready to go to the hill. It means that you need revelation of the grace that comes to you because of his shed blood. Listen, I'm being straight with you, but I want you to know I love you so much. The biggest thing, like with Chris and I, is we love. If you get around us, it's the most important thing to us. It's the highest priority of this ministry is that we would love. Even as much as we pray in the scripture, pray in the spirit, pray in tongues, all those type of things. You know, Paul said, you can pray in tongues like no one else, but if you don't have love, all you do is make noise. And let me just wash you with this prayer that I've been praying that I think will help so many of you. If you will pray that the blood of Jesus will cleanse your soul realm, your mind will purge you from everything. Here's what you'll find, that you will walk in the light. His blood will have cleansed you from every sin, and you will not only have fellowship with him, but you'll have fellowship in place in the body. See, it's our thinking that the enemy's after. The battle's in your mind, in the skull, but Jesus won victory at Golgotha, the place of the skull. It's not by accident. If you let the voices of the world determine your thinking, you will do and say whatever they are doing and saying. But if you'll turn aside and have an encounter with fire, the Lord will speak to you and release you into your destiny as he did Moses. When you have that encounter, all of a sudden you understand why you're here. When the fire hit me as a young boy, I remember standing and preaching it at Y Camp at a balcony to all these kids. These kids got in a fight, and I went out on the balcony and started preaching that Jesus wants us to love each other. That's not normal for, you know, a seven-year-old. See, what happens, some of you hear that and you're like, I don't want to do that. That's my point. Because you've never been hit with fire. The ministry of the priest comes first before the ministry of the king. You go up, who may ascend by the blood, by the grace of God, to meet with him, to turn aside and hear him speak to you. You've got to hear what God is saying. That's the issue. That's what's in my spirit. That's what so many preachers that are hearing God are saying, that the body of Christ is, they're not hearing what he's saying. They're not hearing him speak. They're hearing all these voices, and they're heading for a ditch. They're heading for a place that God is telling them to back up from, and they continue to walk because they think they're hearing God, and they're not hearing him. The ministry of the priest is one that you ascend into a place that you hear God speak, and then out of that flows the ministry of the king. You'll notice Psalm 24, first, who may ascend the holy hill, and all of a sudden, open you gates, you ancient gates. Decrees, prophetic decrees start to be made that the King of Glory can come in. And you start to take the role of the ecclesia, the ruling body of the church. The word church in the Greek that the Holy Spirit chose was the word ecclesia. And the word ecclesia meant the ruling, governing body of Corinth, which had the authority to make laws, enact laws, and enforce laws. And he said, that's what the church is. But there's no revelation of that if we haven't turned aside, been touched by fire, hear his voice, released into destiny. And as we praise, and as we minister as the priest to the Lord, then comes understanding, then comes prophetic degree. Open up, you ancient gates and doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Anybody understanding what I'm saying? You should be feeling something like this. I've been born for something bigger than the life that I'm living. If the grace is off of you to do something, and you continue to try to stay in that place, you will lose your strength. You'll lose your passion. You'll lose your fire. And you'll say, you know, God, give me strength. But you're praying a prayer that he can't answer because you're asking him to strengthen you to do something that he's not calling you to do any longer. But it's like, God, but if I go the way that I go, it's going to cost me something. You know, when Moses had to come back down on the mountain and tell his wife and family and all the rest, can you sit down? Guess what? I love the movies. Charlton Heston comes down and, you know, and his hair is all different. And the people see him and they're like, he's walking like this. And they're like, he has seen God. Because you meet with God and get touched with God, your life will look differently. Immediately, the things that had value yesterday, they don't have value today. But you don't get that unless you turn aside and you're willing to give whole heart and make sacrifice unto the Lord. All right. I think that's enough. Offering time. Thank you. I almost forgot. Okay, go ahead, Ray. Hey, you can read our announcements online. Is there anything like pressing? There's joy luncheon next week. What else? This Wednesday we're here. We got service. Come this Wednesday. If immediately you thought, I don't come Wednesday, that's my point. Can you come and pray for a half hour? Can you try to make it a half hour a month to pray? Well, I'm just more comfortable sitting outside of the door. That's what I'm talking about. You have a no in your heart and won't turn aside. How about let the conviction that you're under right now carry through longer than lunch? All right. We need some more money to take the kids to New York. So you give tithe, and then above the tithe, under missions tab, or you could just mark it missions. We need like, I don't know, like $1,500 to $2,000 more to cover the whole trip. I'm willing to go in the hole because we're taking 13 kids to go minister Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and to bring salt to a church that is ready for revelation of how young people can burn for God. That's what I'm called to do. Is to bring fire to the next generation. I feel that in my bones. You sense the presence of God in the place. Father, we give this offering to you, Lord God, not with a grudge, but knowing that you are the one that meets our needs, we're going to be okay. Father, I pray, Lord God, bless the hands of the giver. I pray this offering is blessed. And I pray, Lord God, for the rest of the funds needed to send the kids, Lord God, leaving in a couple weeks. 2 weeks from today, Lord God, ministering in New York. And I pray, Father, whoever meets that need or part of that need, that you would bless them with vitality. Renew their youth as they sow into young people, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, you can receive the offering. Yeah, so there's church this Wednesday. And then the following Wednesday, we start discipleship classes. There's two classes. One of them is From Captivity to Freedom. It's a Bible study surrounding kind of the time period that we've been talking about. It goes through Nehemiah, Ezra, Esther, Haggai. And then the other one is called The Lord Our Physician, and it's all about physical healing, teaching you about the atonement. My dad taught me that when I was young, too. I had some skin condition that wouldn't go away when I was a kid, and he just got sick of it, poured oil over me and rebuked it, and it just cleared up and never came back again. I had it all summer long. I have it every year. I was like calamine lotion and cotton balls. And I was in agony, and my dad just had enough of it, and he just rebuked it in the name of Jesus and said, you've got no authority in my son's body. Get off of him. And so it went away, and it never, ever came back. And so I was like 8 years old, and I was like, oh, God heals. Nice. Then I go to a service and hear that God used to do these things, and he could do them, and every once in a while he does them. But, you know, he doesn't usually do them. And if you see a lot of people getting healed and happy, that usually it's the devil. We were at the river the other night, and joy was breaking out. And this woman was just laughing. And I heard some of the testimonies later of people got free of depression. And so this woman was just laughing, man, and joy hit her, right? And so your daughter, Shannon, was sitting next to me, right? And so I turned to Shannon, and I said, that's the devil. That's funny. You understand how ridiculous that is? It's the devil making her so happy over there. The devil loves when people are happy in the house of God. And if it's God, people are miserable. We know it's the Lord when everybody's miserable. But when joy visits the church, as it did all through the book of Acts, somehow now that's the devil moving. Get out of your head. Or get your head out of your butt. Yeah, I said it. It needs to be said.
Amen.
Amen. Praise Jesus. You get blessed today? I'm going to challenge some of you to stick around and bring fire and worship at second service. Come right to the altar right at the front with the kids. Worship the Lord like you wish that you did when you got here at first service. You can leave after. You don't have to stay for the word. Unless you want. Just stick around and worship the Lord again. Amen? Now, for those of you that just said no in your heart, ask yourself, what do you have to do right now that's so important that you can't do that? What if that's the moment that God's going to speak to you from the fire? And you're like, I can't. Why? Because that's not what I do. We've already been here almost 2 hours. We need the Spirit of God to move in our churches. That, you know, when I went the other night and Andrew and I were there, I don't know how many saw the video, they line up to get in. They're not in a hurry to get out. They line up to get in. Why do they want to get in? Because they realize God's moving. And they're hungry and thirsty for a move of God and for the presence of God. You know, it's not just here or there. Jesus goes to every city and village, and he's willing to come here to Citrus Springs. But ultimately, it's up to us. Moses said, I will turn aside, which means it's an act of your will how deep you want to run with the Lord. You never stand before the Lord and be able to tell him, look, you never moved in my life. He'll say, my spirit called to you. You did not have time. You are hung up on money and a whole host of other things, you know, that kept you. You love pleasure of the world. You love everything but me. Anyway, if you have to go, you have to go. If you're meeting somebody, you need to go. You understand? If you got to go to work, you have to go. There's things that you have to do. I understand that. But at least ask the Lord. Does he have more for you today? I just want to pray for you. Lord, visit your church. I pray, draw them aside in this season, Lord God. Renew their passion and fresh revelation of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, God bless you all. Love you all. We're open Wednesday.